Is the thing fired up? We're taking this thing off. So we've got to realize that God already knows us, inward and outward. He knows our thoughts. He knows exactly at 11:09 today, this morning, what's going to take place here. You know, nothing surprises him. And so I'm thankful and I'm encouraged that I serve a God like that, a God that already has it all together. Amen. Now, the question is, do you have it all together? Do we have it all together? Does his church have it all together? And I would probably venture to say, no, not totally, not what we should be. And so today I want to touch upon just a little bit. My first direction was, I just had it, and it fleeted by. I guess God says, don't even share what you started typing the other day and you erased it. Okay, I won't, Lord. Because all of a sudden, as I was getting through and I started typing it out, I started going to some scriptures and thinking of some things, and all of a sudden it came to choice and choosing. Choice and choosing. I am so thankful I serve a God that trusts me enough and trusts you enough to say, you get to make a decision, Tim. I'm going to give it all into your... The ball is in your court. And from my understanding and learning of him in scriptures, I know he's a great God. Do you believe that? I know he's a loving God. Do you believe that? A caring, knowing, and all-sufficient God. He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between. And that's the God that I serve, and I trust that's the same God. We had some little discussion in Sunday school where we talked about even what the pastor believes and tries to bring forth to the congregation, maybe only 1 in 7 really believes what the pastor is saying, and that was in a larger church setting, I'm sure. And I believe in a smaller setting like this, I hope and pray that we're all on the same page. Amen. You know, that we have the same core beliefs and understandings of who, because who my God is who your God is. You know, God is not a split personality and some kind of psychotic God that, you know, he splinters himself out there to meet whatever your thoughts are of him. God has himself as who he is, and it's up to us to bring our splintered thoughts of who we think he is into alignment with his thoughts. Amen? And that's where we talk about where he says that we're to have that mind of Christ. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus shares those things. Have the mind of Christ and set your thoughts upon these things. And we find so much of that is God telling us what we need to do. And if we do those things, there's a greatness and a wonderful blessing that comes out of all of that. Do you believe that? I hope so. Because the more we are in tune to him, the more that he can bless us with his blessings. And my God is a blessing God. Oh, yeah, we go through problems. We go through struggles. We have situations that don't seem to be a good thing for that day or this week or whatever the case might be. But I still look at the overall things of God and I say, but he's a blessing God. And then when we are in that relationship with him to that point, as we have developed and matured and getting that mind of Christ, even when we're going through a difficult time, all I'm going to say is, well, God, I guess I'm going to get to see you perform a miracle. Or I guess I'm going to see your hand unfold in my situation, Lord, because you've said you will not leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going through this problem, and you've not set me aside or you've not left me and said, well, Tim, you're on your own. Today I want you to understand that you are not alone, that God loves you, God has a plan for you, and God will fulfill his plan to the extent that you will allow him into your life. Well, you mean I got to make a choice? You mean I got all these choices that are out there, and You know, the world lives on choices, and a lot of it is, it's my personal preference of what I want to do. We've gotten more into a vein in this life today to where, if it feels good, do it. You know? Self-harm, self-this, self-that, whatever. If you want to do it, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I thought I heard something bang. Was it just my hearing? I got... one ear is not totally with me today. Maybe it's something in my head. Okay. So the world has a lot of paths. And the world says, pick any one that you want. Be happy. Be happy. Enjoy life. Life is short. Enjoy it while you're here. Some people will say, once you're done, you're done. You're dead, you're gone, and that's it. Others will say, well, when you die, hey, if you want to come back as a bird, you'll be reincarnated. Now, your next life, you can be a bird. Wouldn't that be fun, flying around? Until you get sucked into an intake of a jet engine or something, maybe. You know? Yeah, so there's all kinds of thoughts out there about choose this path, that path, you path, whatever path you want. God, the world says, as long as you're happy. And I have found that as I have chose God's path, I'm the happiest. I feel more fulfilled. I really feel like I'm accomplishing something. I'm accomplishing things that He wants me to accomplish. You know, we learn to understand that it's not I that live, it's He that lives where? And the refreshing of the Holy Spirit comes upon our building today. I'm assuming that's rain I'm hearing out of this here. Yeah, throughout the day too, I think. I don't know. We'll see. So reading the Word of God is where we should be getting our information and our direction. Many people go, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what the direction is in my life. I don't know. We have just come through a season of schools, and especially high schools. Kids are graduating. My goodness, I reflected upon those pictures and thinking of hearing the boom, 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 boom down in Monterey Park, you know, as the graduating class had that graduation. And I don't know about you, but it's been a few years since I experienced that. But I thought about, wow, they got their life in front of them. They're just starting this journey. You know, I hope for the most that they're going to be up and out and doing their thing, you know, away from mom and dad, that, you know, hey, you know, get out of the nest, it's time to go, you know, type of thing. And you got a whole world out there waiting for you, you know. You choose what you're going to make your life to be. God's Word tells us that quickly in Joshua. We've heard that. Joshua is sharing there, Joshua 24. And he's going through the litany of the forefathers and what they were brought through and the forefathers and whatnot. It tells us in 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as far as me and my house, Joshua made a statement. He set a flag. He stuck a flag in the ground and said what? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you, in our Christian walk, in our Christian faith, there might be a thing or a time when you need to plant a flag and say, enough is enough of this world and what it's doing and trying to do to me and have me fail, or whatever the case might be, or suck me into its ways. But I'm going to plant a flag, and I'm going to say, but as for me, myself, and I, I am going to serve the Lord. Me, myself, and I will serve the Lord. The world has a way of distorting those things as far as, why would you want to serve someone that you've not seen, especially for us, you know? Back in those days, they really saw the hand of God move mightily, didn't they? With the fire coming down at night, and the cloud in the day, and parting of the Red Sea, and the plagues, and the manna from heaven, and all of these things that God performed for the children of Israel as they're going through this 40-year journey that shouldn't have taken that long, but he let them out there long enough to figure out what they were doing wrong, and still it didn't work. And all of those that began that journey were not going to fulfill or see that promised land. It was only going to be their children that were going to survive it to see the promised land. But they saw a lot of God's hand in making miraculous things happen to help them. Water out of the rock, you name it. So many things. And I read it in God's Word, and by faith I take it as that was my God back then, and what He performed, and the miracles that He performed, and what He fulfilled to the people that He chose. And He has chose us today, amen? And you might need some water to come out of your rock. You might be dry, and you might have to hit that rock with a staff. You might have to, you know, Lord, I need manna from heaven. Lord, I need a way to where there seems to be no way. And allow God to perform these things in your life today. But Joshua was telling these people that I and my family choose to serve the Lord. You need to make that choice. Choice, an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. In life, we've got a lot of possibilities to choose from. Oh, this world has some wonderful things, that's for sure, and some of it are good, but there's a lot of it that's bad. There's a lot of it that kind of makes you feel good, but it turns out to be bad, or it kind of sucks you into it to where you think everything's working out well, but we find that basically what this world is about is that it wants to suck the life right out of you. So there is that choice, a decision with two or more possibilities. Choose to select freely and after consideration. Choose to select freely. Are you not glad that you serve a God that turns it all, the chips are over to you and say, it's all in your court. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to choose me or choose the world? Are you going to choose me and serve me, or are you going to choose and serve the devil? Because you're going to serve one or the other. Choice is so important in our Christian walk. And even as we get into our Christian walk, choice and choosing still continues to lead us. Just because we've said the prayer, received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and things were really great and going gangbusters for whatever season that lasted, we come to the point to where now, you know, we're still living of this world and things still come upon us, and the enemy likes to put those snares and those traps and those things out there, and there's that point in time in your Christian walk that you have got to make a choice. And you've got to choose. You've got to make a selection. In Joshua 24:15, the people had to decide whether they would obey the Lord, who had proven His trustworthiness, or that they would obey the local gods, those that were man-made idols. It's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion, going about life in your own way. But the time comes when you have to make a choice of who's going to control you. You know, how many people out there, how many of you heard, even in this life, say, I'm my own man. I make the choices. I do what I want. Well, haven't they been deceived? Deceived very, very good by that of the God of this world. Because by the choices they're making, it's really they're adhering to the father of all lies, the devil. I, pride. I can do this, I can do that. I don't need help from anybody. I've seen people right in the midst of having nothing. And when people were trying to help them and they had some stipulations that they had to follow to be able to receive some helps along the line of helps in their life because they had nothing. I have even had a person say, how dare them tell me what I've got to do and what they want me to do to receive the help that I need from them. I can take care of myself. I said, you can take care of yourself. I said, you don't have a place to live. You don't have a job. You don't have food. You don't have anything. And you are taking care of yourself? And you've got an agency or something here that is willing to help you, give you some handouts to help you hand up, you know, to get you up and going with a job and clothing to find for getting a job. And I said, my goodness. I didn't say this to the person, but now that I think about it, I should have said, you are so foolish. Boy, are you deceived by the devil. Because even in a person's life that is failing, they are so seared to what they think that I am doing it all on my own. No, you're not. Once you reach out for help and assistance and need help, you're not doing it on your own, guy or gal. But isn't it interesting how the enemy blinds the people's hearts, blinds their minds to their way of thinking, that makes it okay for them to have that type of mentality? Because as long as they've got that mentality, I can take care of myself when they're not able to, you know, do nothing. Talk about walking in a deceived world. It's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion when you go through your life, but the time comes when you have to make a choice of who will control you. This is strictly your choice. Everybody in this room has a choice. You had a choice today to get out of bed and get to church. Tomorrow, Monday, you have a choice to get up and go to work. Get up and go shopping. Get up and do this. You've got a choice on what you're going to do. It's strictly your choice. We've got to take it a step further and say, will it be God or your own limited personalities or other imperfect substitutes that you choose to do? Once you decide to be led or controlled by the Spirit of God, we need to look at that and reaffirm that, not just once a week on Sunday, but we need to look and be controlled by God, what? Every day of the week, 24/7. Even when we're sleeping, you need to be controlled by God. Well, there's times when I get ready to go to sleep, I say, Lord, I just want to dream something of you. Amen. Lord, I just want to be in my dreams, Lord. You know, I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling places. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting on your table. No, something. Anyway, I want to be where you're at, Lord. Even in my times of sleeping, I want to be where you are, Lord. There's nothing more advantageous, nothing more secure, nothing more fulfilling for me than to desire to be with Him. And He's with us if we invite Him along. Do you invite Him along with you every day? Hey, hop in the car, God, here we go. Hop in the boat, hop in the golf cart, hop in wherever, it's not, you got to stay at church, Monday through Friday. It's like wherever you go, just, I want to be in your presence, Lord. I want to be controlled by your Spirit. I want to affirm this every day with you, Lord. Joshua then told the people that they had a choice to make. They could serve God. God brought them out of Egypt. God saved them. Or they could serve Him, or they could serve other gods. What a choice. They could serve the gods that their fathers had worshipped in the desert. They could serve the gods of Canaan. They had a choice. Choice, choice, choice. What a wonderful God we serve, a God of choices. Amen. Salvation, you choose if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to force Him and down your throat and twist your arm to say the sinner's prayer to receive Him if it's the last thing I do. I'm not going to say I love you so much that I'm going to just break your arm if you don't say the sinner's prayer, The choice is yours. I will lay it out. I will example my life, or through my life, maybe you will see something that you might say, boy, what do you have that I don't have, that I see in you that I wish I had, and blah, blah, blah. And we go into a conversation of a relationship building of, oh, this is what I've got. It's free for you as well. Joshua showed them what they should do. He and his family would serve only the Lord. What an example. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to plant a flag. You need to draw a line in the sand. You need to do something in your life to say, I am going to serve my God. I am going to serve Him. And Lord, if I get off of the track of serving You, bring me back and set my feet upon that path, Lord, and lead and guide me. I want to honor and glorify You. Why do you do that, Tim? Because I'm choosing this day who I want to serve. I've made a choice in my life of who I want in my corner. And I want God in my corner. And nothing that this world has can hold a light to Him. Because He is light, amen? No shadow. So we have a choice. Although we are Christians, we still have a choice. We can serve God or we can serve other gods. We can serve gods of, what's our God? Ambition. We can serve the God of sports, the God of entertainment, the God of our career. These are all false gods. Wouldn't it be great if we just put this up and this is my God, a bottle of water. I'm going to worship that. But for you, it's a career. For you, even family. It's for you. It's a sporting event. For you, it could be something totally, whatever it is. Whatever it is that draws so much attention to it that you're willing to turn from God to it and give it more time than you give God. I believe when we take that time and understanding of choosing God and making that choice, God has to fill your plate. Oh, there's some room on your plate for some other things. But God better have the biggest portion of that plate. And He really wants you to have more on your plate than maybe just Him, per se. We're looking at these things. He wants us to enjoy life. We are in this world to be an example. We're here for a plan and a purpose, I mean, if we just had God on our plate Monday through Sunday, every day for 10 or 12 hours a day, we would all just come to a church setting and we would all just come in on Monday morning at 8 o'clock and we would just stay here all day and do nothing but sit here and sing and pray and have message or whatever the case may be. But God understands that we have a life to live, amen. And actually, He's giving you that life to live. And He's given you resources and talents and abilities to go out and to fulfill something occupationally or to be a part of what's going on out there, because that's only how His message will get out. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not seeing people flocking to churches in the last decade or two because they need God. In some instances, we see people walking away from church and setting their eyes upon the things of the world because, oh yes, they were Christians, but all of a sudden the things of the world began to entice them, or they said, well, I'll have time later, and I've got to go do this, and this is taking part of my time, and now I've done so much in the world this week, I'm so tired, I can't even go to a corporate church service because I'm tired and I'm going to miss that. But we find out that maybe God has really slipped off of our plate, and now he's on that little side dish. Maybe he's only on that appetizer plate. Oh, when I need to be appetized a little bit, I'll go to church. I'll pray. I'll read his word. I'll do something. But we've got to get back. We've got to find that point to where God is the main course of our life. All of these false gods can stop us from worshiping the real God. You know that. I'm not telling you anything new today under the sun. I can look at my life and find the times that I allow the things of the world to drive or draw me to worshiping it in a way more than I worshiped God. We all have those things. It's when we recognize those things that we repent and ask for forgiveness and come back to God. All these little false gods can stop us from serving the one real God. Joshua told the people, verses 19 to 22, that it'll be hard. God is holy. God cannot look at sin. The people might sin. They might worship other gods, and God will punish them. They must be sure that they want to serve the Lord. Today, I'd ask you, you've got to be sure that you want to serve the Lord in your life. And what that means and what that measures up to, it's going to be an individual thing to you. It can't be, here's how I serve the Lord, this is how you need to do it, and then you need to do this, and you need to do this. It's individual. Why is that? Because it comes back to, we each have that choice, individual choice in choosing these things of God. God does not forgive everybody. He does not forgive people who hate his ways. He does not forgive people who are too proud to confess their sins. He does not forgive people when they do not care about his ways. God only forgives those humbled people who invite Jesus into their lives. Sometimes it's easy, or sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian. We need the help of God. He expects only the best from his people. As an example that we would look at in the earthly form, did we not see that in Jesus? Only the best. Oh, he was pulled, and different ones did different things to him, and they drew on him, and they pulled a lot out of him, and even he got tired. Even times that he had to take and go up and just be before the Lord and wake up early in the morning and go into a garden and pray and take that time away from the disciples, to take that time even away from the multitudes of people that were following and drawing off of him because of the things that he had for them. Even he needed to take time to be with God. We need to have that time to be with God. And if you're busy running, you're not going to have time to be with God. And the God of this world and things of this world like to keep us running. For whatever reason, even good things, it seems like, can be a bad thing if done at the wrong time. And I believe the enemy likes to really point upon us or put upon us, you ought to be doing this for the kingdom. You ought to go out and do this. You ought to do this and build this and go there and do this and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden our churches get so built into programs and so built into so many variety of things to do for the kingdom of God, that we all come back after 3 or 4 weeks or 2 or 3 months and we look at each other and we're just beat down. We're wore out. Now, physically, when you have found yourself beat down and wore out, are you as effective at doing anything that you do in the natural of doing things? Generally not. And so I think the enemy, the devil, likes to keep the church is so busy thinking they're doing such a wonderful thing for the kingdom, to where the church needs to stop and say, no, wait. What has God asked us to do? And what has God given us as a mandate or a thing to do? Pretty easy. Go out and share the good news. That's kind of like a great vision to have, isn't it? Let's just take the vision of what he told the disciples. Go out and share. How do we share? Share in your jobs. Share by building relations. Share to strangers. Whatever the case might be. It's so interesting. I talked to an individual just last night in regards to something, and they're out of the area now, up north. But they, in talking to them, confound that they used to go here way back. I said, well, how far way back? Like mid-80s or so, or early 90s? And I said, well, I think it's probably in the 80s. Well, they had shared that they were saved and had come to Believer's Faith Fellowship at the time and attended some time here and received the Holy Ghost, but they said that we didn't receive it right there at the altar. We were prayed for the Holy Ghost, but we didn't receive him right there at the altar. It was later on at the house or somewhere, wherever they were at, that they received it. Or it came to, probably became active within their being. And she said, it wasn't Pastor Hobbit that prayed for us, or prayed for me. It was a guy that, he wrote this book, Sparkling Gems. And I go, oh, Rick Renner. Yeah, Rick Renner. I go, oh my goodness, that goes way back when Rick Renner came here and spoke. And baby grand piano is because of that time with Rick Renner. He felt that was something that God was impressing upon him, and somehow they received offerings enough, and they got that piano. So that goes back to Rick Renner, so that goes back a time. I'm sure Dan would know all of that if we would ask him. But it's interesting talking to somebody just totally out of the blue, and it's like having a relationship to this church way back in the 80s, and it's like, oh my goodness. I said, well, if you're ever in the area visiting, feel free to ask. I will. If I'm down in that area sometime, I'll try to come out and see you guys. So anyway, that was pretty interesting. But, you know, it's just the purpose and where we're at, and even what this church is about, and the things that we look at that we don't even know what has touched people's lives from 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, that has been planted in them and is coming about, or it's still in them. You know, we have to look at what God would say. It's just like, you know, all of a sudden I just lost it, but it has to do with small beginnings, you know. Don't look down on small beginnings or as things begin to develop and things of that nature, because if God is in it, it's a powerful thing. I got to get going here. We got a couple of others to cover real quick. I want to jump into the New Testament in Matthew. So Joshua talks about, choose this day who you will serve. Matthew 12, quickly looking at that, we want to see what Jesus is speaking of. Matthew 12, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry. They began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat, and that upset the Pharisees and all that. Look, you're working on the Sabbath and things of that nature. Goes on, and he talks about healing on the Sabbath. That wasn't a good thing to do. Then we find that in 25, I think is where I want to go, or 22. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed them, so that the blind and the mute spoke and saw. And the multitudes were amazed, verse 23. Verse 24, when the Pharisees have heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Cast them out by Satan. Jesus says to, he knew their thoughts. So, do you think he knows your thoughts too? You know, as we go through life, it's like, huh. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Look around today. Listen to the news. The world's divided. Our country's divided. Our churches are divided. Our families are divided. You name it, we are divided. Amen. It's not good. Verse 12:25, a kingdom divided against itself, it's doomed. A city against itself is doomed or will not stand. A home against itself is doomed, it will not stand. Every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. Do you understand why the enemy likes to bring division? Wow! Division in a nation, division in churches, division in schools, division in city council, division in businesses, division, 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 division in your job. Anybody here has seen division in your job where you work? It's running rampant. Jesus' word says, you're doomed for failure. It will not succeed. But I like it in verse 12:30. Anyone who is not with me is against me. Anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Anyone who is not with me is against me. It's kind of like it reminds me of what God was saying, Joshua was saying that, you know, and God's word says, you either choose this day who you will serve, you know, either myself or the devil, as God would say. It's one or the other. And Jesus is saying this, that if you're not with me, you're against me. Do we find people against Jesus today? Mm-hmm. You can't be neutral about Christ. If a person is not actively following him, they're rejecting him. Are you actively following Jesus daily? Are you actively following God daily and fulfill the things that he has for you? A person who tries to remain neutral in the struggle of good against evil is choosing to be separated from God, who alone is good. To refuse to follow Christ is making a choice to follow who? Satan. This life that God has given you, if you have not chosen him, if you have not chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God would say you're serving the devil, and Jesus would say then you're against me if you're not with me. Verse 30, here again, people must make a choice. Either they accept Jesus or they refuse him. Either they are with him or they're against him. There are only two sides. If people are not on Jesus' side, they are his enemies. A person on Jesus' side gathers people to him. His enemies will turn people away from him. Aren't we to be gatherers, you know, in this life? As we go out and share the good news, as we go out and share the message, it should be encouraging people. If nothing else, it should be bringing to maybe some things like, what is it that I'm missing in this life? And that's an opportunity for you to jump in and say, well, let me share some of the things that I have received after coming to him. Have you had a good life since you came to Christ? Have you seen more positives in your life since you've come to Christ? In your struggles and times of trials, have you not had answers that come forth to help you? And if some of those struggles continue on for more than a season that you think, does not God come and give you strength if you truly stay with him to get you through some of these battles and this things that we go through? The last area I want to go to is Deuteronomy 30:19. We find here Moses is sharing on choosing God's ways. Joshua is saying, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, or we're going to serve the Lord, making a choice, choosing. We found Jesus in Matthew talks about, if you're not with me, you're against me. You need to choose Jesus Christ, because as we have chosen Jesus Christ, then I'm with him. Are you with him? Hallelujah. And now we find, just in closing up, in Deuteronomy 30:19, we find Moses is sharing on choosing God's ways. Why is that? God's ways gives us life. It says this, Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. But as I look at this again, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. What are you clinging to today? Moses gives a challenge to Israel to choose life, to obey God, and therefore to continue to experience his blessings. Now, God doesn't force his will on anyone. He lets a person decide whether to follow him or reject him. No mistaking about it, though. The decision you make is life or death. It matters. God wants us to choose life, to choose him who gives life. This needs to become a daily walk, and we affirm it daily and reinforce our commitment to him. Remember, I shared earlier about, you know, this is an everyday thing as we serve him. It's a daily walk into the kingdom of God. As I close out, it gets to that point. This needs to become a daily walk, that we affirm it daily and reinforce our commitment to him every day. Heavenly Father, Lord, work in me and through me. May those around me see you in me. Father, may I bring honor and glory to you. Those areas that I've messed up on, those areas that maybe I didn't do so well in, forgive me, Father God. Forgive me. And thank you, Lord, for a do-over. But God wants to hear you ask for that forgiveness. God wants you to admit your mistakes. He wants you to come and confess these things to him. He already knows. He's just wanting you to realize, do you know that you know? That this is where we separated ways. This is where the car jumped off of the track, you know? But our days that we have here, they are numbered. And there's a plan and a purpose that God has for us. But he gives it all into your court. And he says, you're going to choose, Tim, what you're going to want. Life or death. We have to be wise of that in our communication and as we talk to people. How do we talk to people? How do we phrase things to people? How do we communicate? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Today, I encourage you, and I hope the tongue today is bringing life before you to say, isn't it great to know that God has said the choice is yours? I'm a good God, a willing God, a loving God, a caring God, a big God. I can supply everything you need, but it's up to you to choose if you want me or if you want to muddle through this life on your own abilities, your own strength, and be wore out, discouraged, and probably not fulfilled. But that choice is yours. To select freely and after a consideration, or an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. Hallelujah. As we close today, I want to lift up in prayer, and just by a raised hand, if you want to just, you know, I need to get closer to God. I need to make this choice more real. I need, you know, to clarify this in my own spirit, that I choose God over anything else. I make that choice. I've made this decision. I'm choosing who this day I'm going to serve. In the past, maybe it's not been as clear. In the past, I thought I was. As I think back now today, I've noticed some things in my life that have changed. I've noticed that maybe I've taken my eyes somewhat off of the things of God. I'm a Christian, and I love him, and I'm serving him, but it could be a little deeper service. It could be a deeper relationship with him. I want you to understand that he wants a deep relationship with you. Remember, in the beginning, God does not forgive everybody. He does not forgive people who hate his ways. He won't forgive people who are too proud to confess their sins. He does not forgive people who they do not care about his ways. He forgives the humble. And that's sometimes the area that has to be broken in the person before anything else. Is, oh, Father, that person needs to be humbled. We hear those stories and things of how far sin will take you, and sin will take you to the point where all you have is God. But there is no other sources out there, that you are so far down in the pit, you can only go one way, and that's up to a point. Maybe that pit could be deeper and deeper as you keep digging, I don't know. But whenever you come to that realization, and when you come to that point of asking God for forgiveness, know that he hears you, know that he forgives you, and that he loves you. Just before I pray, I saw a hand already, but just again reiterating, as far as just by an uplifted hand, as far as I just need to make this choice more clear. I need to clarify it within my own self that I am choosing you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you have that need, are you able to lift up that hand and say, Lord, I need to make this choice a little bit more clear in my life. I need to really come to an understanding, Lord, of what it means to choose you. I've been with you for 25 years, Lord. I thought it was a pretty well made up on my mind already, but, you know, as I've looked back over the 25 years, it seemed like first 15 years I really was following you and obedient to you, but maybe the last 6 or 7 years I've kind of slipped into a thing of, it doesn't seem to be as important today, or I don't have time today. Lord, I just need to reaffirm it within myself that I'm choosing you today. Father, as we come today and the message that has gone forth, I pray that it touches the hearts of everyone here. Father, if they were not able to raise their hand, or they felt like everything is okay and their part with you and they're 100% sold out to you, that they're 100% following you, that they have chosen you into their life, then praise God. Praise God in that life, Father God. But I really feel there's a lot of us here today that the enemy has kind of lulled us to sleep, thinking that we're doing a pretty good job. Doing a pretty good job of serving God. Yeah, you're okay. You look past that little thing here and that little thing there. He's okay with that. Oh, yeah. You know, you hear. You know my heart, God. You know my heart, really. And Lord, as you shared with me one time, when a person said that to me, you asked me to ask them, but do you know God's heart? And if you truly know God's heart, would you want to hurt him? Would you want to think so much that, well, he'll understand me, but I don't really understand him? And God, I know that you put within us that ability to understand you to the point if we would just surrender ourselves and be led by that of the Holy Spirit, Father, that we would line up with you more and more on a daily basis. Lord, if nothing else out of this message today, Lord, it would be that every day, Lord, we need that close relationship with you. And Father, we thank you for being with us through thick and thin. And I pray today, Lord, that myself would see even a clear understanding of even myself, Lord, choosing you over anything that this world would try to entertain me with. And to find out that I just want to love you, serve you, be with you, invite you in where I'm at, Lord, to always have a place, Father. Thank you. As we go forth today, thank you, Lord, for going with us. I pray encouragement in everyone's life this day. I pray a renewing in our spirits for a closer walk with you, and that you're there to hear that, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, as we go today, may you rest upon each one of us. May those around us in this life of this week see you in us. May your glory shine forth. May we glorify you. And throughout this week ahead, may we always acknowledge you that we love you. We love you. Thank you, Father. Amen.